What is up? It's Tuesday night, December 6, 2011. This is episode 24 of Inside the Game. I'm DJ Wheat, joined by Pain User and In Control. Idra is either like en route or recently landed or whatever. He has been transplanted to Korea. I don't know, Jeff, do you have any updates you can give us on the status of Idra at this very moment?
He's just making the pilgrimage. He's got WCG coming up in a week or two, I think.
Yeah.
And then after that, he will be chilling. December is the month of rest for everyone in StarCraft II land, so even in Korea, okay, brace yourself, even in Korea, sometimes they stop playing StarCraft.
What?
Hang on, rabble. They go and see their family, and the Slayers, you know, they're going to take a little bit of a downtime, and then January, boom, it's right back at it, 2012. Speaking of which, DJ Wade, I have a question for you.
Oh, yes?
Okay.
All right.
What are you doing getting Mia Rose involved in StarCraft 2?
Oh, I've not made any efforts at this time in Control. However, if it makes you feel any better, of course, I've got a whole notebook of ideas filled, right? I just got to pull it right here. This is my actual ideas for things that I think we can get Mia to do on the shows. The first, like, 9 pages might just be inside the game. Let me just...
See? The thing is...
Like, yes.
StarCraft 2 is getting bigger. You know what I mean? I don't see Jenna Jameson playing Major League Baseball. I don't see some of these other adult actresses playing in the WNBA. In StarCraft 2, we're having that. So,
kind of true.
The rest of the sports world, you better step up, or as it were, get on your knees.
And I take it you're really happy with contributions in the world.
I don't mean to be cocky, but I just think I think it's awesome.
I mean, you know? do you think EG has reached sort of a plateau, a new level with, you know, Idra and the Muslim being, yeah, it's Reddit is TMZ like the day after,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Okay, we can tell that StarCraft II is in its infancy. The Muslim had the right idea in that picture with the glasses and the MySpace
pose.
Idra, on the other hand, if we're going to be critical of here for a second, the head tilt and slight connection between hairs with Miro's.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely.
That's not how you do it, though.
Definitely. That was more like a, you know, I don't know.
It's like I'm with Miro's. That's not how you do it. You gotta go.
I'm trying to find the picture, by the way.
I'm with Miro's, or you know, like.
I've got to agree with you, man. I think that you make a great point.
Be more attitude out of Greg. I don't want the sweetheart. You know, like, I'm with Miro's. I need, I'm with fucking Miro's. Whatever.
God damn it, I can't find it.
Still a lot to teach him.
Who, Greg? Or the Muslim?
The Muslim is doing well.
Because he's got his accent, dude. Come on, you and I both know. The Muslim's still got, you know, he's got some learning to do as well. I know he's back there. You let him know that I said that. It's okay.
Pain User, if you were in that situation, and you were, you know, hunched over.
I was thrown into that situation at BlizzCon.
Thrown into it?
I had no idea who she was.
You were thrust into it, weren't you?
What's up?
You were thrusted into that situation?
Thrusted.
Yeah. You were there, right, Weed?
What?
He's not.
No. I don't.
At the JTV, like, back bar thing.
I don't know, man. Yeah,
I was like ordering a drink, and she walked up to me, and she was like, "Do you know who I am?" And I was like, "No, I have no idea." And then she was like, "Oh,
whatever." Which of course she instantly smells bullshit because she knows.
I didn't know who she was.
She walked up and goes, "Do you know who I am?" Fucking Pain User smashes his bottle on the table and goes, "Do you know who I am?" And she goes, "Whoa, big man." Said, "I am Mia Rose." And he goes, "Well,
I had to go. I had to go ask someone from my work who she was."
Oh, that's.
And he was
so
like,
funny.
"He was like, dude, that's Mia Rose. She's like a famous adult actress." And I was like,
from
"Oh,
your work knew that."
Whoops!
I get their name out there. It was David Ting.
It was actually AJ. It's our events coordinator.
I cannot find the picture. I feel really. I can't believe it.
Can't you? isn't it Googled? Like,
I don't know.
How many pictures come up when you Google Mia Rose into Muslim?
Okay, let's.
That's a good question.
No, I'm going to check this out right now.
How many come up? Wow, interestingly enough, what? That can't be right. I still.
Skype's got it for you, or not Skype rather, but the chat for our show has it in there.
Yeah, the problem is that I need it on the other computer. Damn it. God, I've been foiled this time. You know what? Check this out. I'm just going to manually put it in.
I'm going to Skype it. Boom.
There we go. FDRJ. That was like a massive producer fail right there. But there we go. Wow, there's all sorts of like... Looks like there's all sorts of interesting pictures here. Yep, there it is. Okay.
So
pop this out.
What's your two honest take on
we pop this out.
Mia Rose attractiveness.
Look at
Let's
this.
Be real.
Look at this. There's
like
the,
all the
well,
makeup.
In all fairness, you
See,
know,
Greg didn't do it.
The Muslim really... has if Greg had the duck lips, would it have been okay?
Ben, were you inebriated with this picture?
Surprisingly not.
Damn it, Ben. All right. Well, I promise you better Ben performance in the future. Greg, I can't say. Like this, you could actually Photoshop Greg's face right here onto an Abercrombie & Fitch ad. Like this is we're just here at the beach half naked and stopped to take this picture. She's really funny. She has this like quaint librarian look. Like, which section of the books are you looking for?
Yeah.
Mia Rose.
Are those the Twitch TV $5 aviators to Muslims rocking right there with the Twitch TV sticker on them still?
I think so.
I love it.
Think you got aviators? I'm kind of jealous now. Damn it.
Yeah, they do.
I think so. Well, good for them. Welcome to the you know, the next level. You've made it. Well, these guys have made it.
God, sorry. Yeah, think of the follow-up jobs to being a porn star, like being a motivational speaker. I would love it if she came into like a middle school gym and goes, "Hello, my name's Mia Rose. Quiet down, quiet down. So I used to be a porn star. It was not the greatest. Now, I want to talk to you about sexual responsibility."
This is a banana. You know, what's so great is that I've known Mia for a very long time, and you'd think that, like, just the whole concept of a porn star, you know, like, I could go to my favorite porn searching engine, type in Mia Rose, and probably get about 1,000 videos to come up.
Mm-hmm.
But having met her like 5-6 years ago, like, she never makes you feel like, oh my god, like, you know, she's gonna stick
right
her crotch in, you know, like, she's never really exuding her sort of porn starness. But I think she's a cool cat.
I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. I would by no means try to say she's not a cool cat. It's just
coming from you, that means a lot, Marcus.
Yeah. Does it? Or are you just being
Indeed.
Facetious, you motherfucker?
No.
Oh, okay.
What the fuck?
Okay.
I'm dead serious. I personally know nothing about her character other than I had absolutely no idea she existed and totally ate my words.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, well, I do know that, like, Mia won, like, a Best Anal Award sometime. Oh. Like, I mean, what? I mean, that's,
oh,
like,
for real?
That's, like, at least prestigious. I mean,
what's that awards least, thing called? The
I don't know, but... I'm gonna anal award. Let me find out what you.
No, it's like a convention. You know, there's like the VMAs for video awards. There's like the
AEBN.
What? Like,
no, there's categories.
In 2007 at the AEBN VOD Awards, she was the best newcomer. There it is. 2007 Adult Com Award, the best actress for anal performance. Do you want it? Do you know what movie it is? For 15 points, Jeff, what movie earned a Best Actress for Anal Performance Award for Mia Rose, directed by Jake Malone and Evil Angel?
And Evil Angel?
That's incorrect.
Hang on, hang on. It wasn't.
Is that your final answer?
I don't know. What was it?
In Gamers Control. Gone Wild.
It's Own My Ass.
No, I really like the ones that play on the names of old movies. That's the funniest thing you could ever.
Those are pretty funny.
And then the whole movie is like a play off of that movie. Like there's like 35 Buffy the Vampire Slayer ones because
it's like how can you not, you know? Right, exactly.
I'm gonna play you, Mr. Vampire Man. That's a big stick you're carrying there. You want to see a bigger one?
Oh. Well, you know what? And this brings us to Zano in the chat in his very like on his high. He's definitely riding some sort of high horse,
right?
Of morals, and he says, and I quote, "What the hell does this have to do with video games? You guys are being disgusting. I've lost my respect for you." Well, sir, let me tell you what this has to do with video games, goddammit. Because Mia Rose was in attendance during the Season 2 NASL Championships. Boom. Whoops, wrong one. Boom, which we are talking about tonight. That, sir, is what it has to do with video games, sir.
White War goes, "My son is watching, and I hear best anal performance." Yeah, spin it into a learning thing. Tell him best anal performance is potty training. Boom! Inside the game, potty trained your child.
Boom!
You're very welcome.
Like, we have to explain parenting to these guys. My dad, my brother and I were watching a football game when he was very young. A Viagra commercial comes on. He says, "Dad, what is Viagra for?" You know what my dad said? He didn't say it's to make your penis hard when you're having a tough time having sex with your wife. No. He said it's for headaches. And I don't know how long it took Colby to figure out the reality of that one, but you know what? We have to tell you guys the difference.
You just put Colby on blast.
And that is what that has to do with the NASL Season 2. Nice segue, boys. Well done.
Honestly, who cares? The more the merrier. Like, let's get all the porn stars involved in StarCraft 2.
We've had a basketball player. We have a UFC player who happens to be a UFC player.
He's
a
cool
UFC fighter who is incredibly cool.
Super chill.
And is
super
fighting
chill
this weekend, you guys. So, you know, I know, like,
is he on the card this weekend?
Yes.
He's on the main card?
Yes, he is.
All right, right on.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this Saturday, right before Nick Lentz fights, I want everyone to just tweet the shit out of him and UFC. And I will be tweeting, like, show this guy some support.
Yeah.
You know, it's awesome. He's undefeated in UFC right now. So let's
isn't he like 20-2 or something?
He's gonna shout out Stark. Yeah, he's
overall
got a sick record, you know, and then he's undefeated in UFC.
Could do better though. 22-0 could have been.
Not main card. You know what I mean? Okay.
Just kidding.
So you know what's gonna
show
happen?
Me love. He's on Twitter. He's actually a bigger Twitter horror than most people I know, actually. If you follow his Twitter, you're going to get some information. You will see some pictures.
Yeah, for sure.
So do tweet at him. He reads that stuff for sure. And I'll tell you what, if we got these guys who are embracing us, the least we can do is embrace them back. And this guy is a legit celeb, man. Send some love.
You're so right, dude. You're so right. I'm into that. So
maybe
that
we can get Joe Rogan into the community through him. That's what's up.
You know what? One of the guys that does like Joe Rogan
podcast,
right? Yeah, like came on. Apparently, he's kind of into it, but not really. I mean, more and more of these sort of celebs leak out in terms of, hey, I like watching this stuff. It's good stuff, you know. I don't know if they're dedicating like 3 days into the weekend, but I have a feeling they're like watching and maybe like, you know, checking out the finals or
I mean it's hype. It's hype, right?
Yeah.
It's like the beginning of UFC, right? Everybody kinda checked it out a little bit just to see what it was all about.
I mean, like,
even if they weren't interested in fighting.
Now. Yeah, for sure. Oh yeah, exactly. There's a certain
and look at it. Look at it now. This actually the beginning of StarCraft 2 is super reminiscent of the beginning of UFC, to be honest. You have all the smaller organizations kinda like throwing monthly events and stuff like that. Eventually, UFC is going to come along and just gobble everybody up, and Dana White's going to,
you know,
destroy all the other organizations.
You say that.
Contract all the players.
Dana White, shaved bald head. Sundance Giovanni.
I see you.
Wait. Where's the
shaved bald head?
Where's the Zoom?
I didn't do it that time. I was thinking about it, but I was.
Yeah, where's the patented?
Can I be honest with you? It's not hot linked to my sidebar over here, so I would have had to have gone into the little tab on the lower right hand corner.
You could have just drawn it out and been like, and you know what?
Yeah.
Pain user and we
my multitasking.
He also has. There you go. NASL season 2. I am actually really excited because I hope that you guys tuned into at least some of it.
I watched all of it. Okay, obviously, great.
You watched all of it. I'm sure you saw some criticism online. This is always one of those interesting situations where I have a feeling that you're going to absolutely get some sort of discrepancy on opinions based off being at the event or being, you know, or watching live. So I've really not talked to anyone about the I was at home, I was watching this live experience. So let's talk a little bit about it, the NASL Season 2. You know, first and foremost, I would say congratulations to Mr. the winners.
Puma.
Puma, right, for the first major North American, like, double back-to-back title. I know we've seen it happen in Korea, but...
He's the only NASL champion.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's a great way to put it, man. He is. And that's an amazing thing, so...
It's a nice purse to take down.
Hell yeah, it is, man.
Twice in a row.
Hell yeah, it is.
In 6 months, he's made over $116,000.
That's Stefano-esque.
That's the real deal.
That's Stefano-esque.
$116,000.
Well, let's talk about NASL, though, because we have some pretty perfect perspectives. It's only been two NASLs. It's kind of funny to talk about first time this and first time that. Obviously, it's going to be a lot of first times, much like... not going to make that joke. Anyways, enough with the... really tough opening up with that subject and moving away from it. Anyways.
Bring it back, Jeff.
We, as a caster for NASL, this is your first time. The event itself, like on the outside, we were seeing some issues. We saw things like the lighting getting kind of quirky. Fan attendance was a big subject that people are going to want to talk about. The multiple locations for the event. We had the commentators in one place, the players' booth in another. Walk me through that from your perspective as a caster. What were your initial thoughts, and what did you think of the NASL?
All right, so let's address like the location of the casters in relation to everything. First and foremost, like painting a little picture, and maybe we can actually find like a decent picture of NASL Season 2 venue. What they did is they had a giant 360-degree view of everything. In fact, here we might be able to bring up a tour of the NASL Finals. This is directly from ESFI World, actually. And maybe you guys can help me crash their site yet again. I mean that in the nicest way possible over there. But on ESFI World... they did put together, I'll see if I could kind of, it's actually with Jacqueline right now, but you can get a good idea here. You see that we've got the four screens in the middle, which were really interesting because, again, there were so many different angles of viewing. Some of those chairs right there, take close note of those, because some of those chairs never experienced a warm ass over the course of the weekend. Right there. Those are the ones that were abandoned. All right. Now... let me see if I can go forward. I would like to see if we can get a little bit closer here to the booths. Yes, because the booths, as you can see, that both players were contained within one booth.
Yeah.
The booths
cool concept.
Were...
I'm going to rant and rave about that, by the way.
Okay. The booth was, as far as I was experienced, incredibly soundproofed. I never heard one player say something, and you guys know... When it's fucking not soundproof, players will, you know, they will bitch.
Definitely let you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So that I felt like the booth, the presentation, the MC, and we'll talk about the red carpet a little bit, was great. You know, let's talk about, I think, the first big criticism, Jeff, that you brought up. Unless you had one about the location of the casters, I was quite fond of that, but.
No, we're gonna ebb and flow because I got rant and rave and I've got needs work.
As far as the attendance, you know, I expected that it was very very possible that the attendance would not be that good, and for some reason, Jeff, I find it very 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 difficult to even speculate why there weren't. As many people. Now, here's something I can tell you.
Would you say more or less than season one?
Actually, I don't know because...
He wasn't there,
What I saw online looked like more, But again, yeah. NASL season two was a bit more spread out. Like there was more volume. Like I think if it would have been cut in half, then it probably would have been a little bit equal in size. But throughout the weekend, there was certainly the one thing that I think everyone would tell you is that it's an amazing tournament. It's too bad there are not more people here to experience it.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Now, I think the one thing I want to say before I like hand it over, just because in the history of esports competitions, like I've seen more events without people than I've seen events with people. Like,
yes.
Keep that in mind.
Yep.
However, with the recent surge of event attendance from everything from StarCraft 2 to Gamescom to even some of the ESEA lands that have happened and some of that stuff, I was very surprised of the lack of attendance. However, I felt like being there, it did not ruin it for me.
Yeah.
So I found it very interesting that a lot of the outsider perspective was, well, this sucks. No one's there, when like they actually weren't there. You know,
right.
I mean, it's more like a this sucks for the league that there weren't more, you know, the presentation
right.
of it, that there weren't more people. But all in all, I don't necessarily think that it detracted from the event overall.
Hmm.
I think it's just unfortunate.
You didn't miss, like, the roar of the crowd in the audience and
as far
interaction
as I was
with the crowd like that?
No, I mean, like, it was there. I think, again, it may just not have seemed that big. It certainly was not the size of an MLG, you know, and again, it was so spread out, but like the front column, it was generally filled. The one to the sides of it, it was generally filled.
So
when
it was
loud,
small,
it was
hardcore,
loud.
Like
yeah,
hardcore.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, what happened is it made it a bit more intimate. I mean, would it have been better if there were triple, quadruple the people? Absolutely. But I could tell you that I wasn't, like, sulking in the back going, yeah, this really sucks.
Yeah.
It's actually surprising, though, like, given the venue in L.A. as well. Like, you'd think there'd be a lot of people there.
I hope that
especially
someone,
in Anaheim.
When we open up the phone lines, that someone else who attended NASL would call in, just because I'd love to know what it was like as an audience member, you know, not having what you were talking about, Pain User. A lot of people go there expecting to have that complete experience. You know, but I think there were some things that made up for it, like the red carpet. But anyway, I've talked enough. Jeff, I want to hear your opinions on it.
It's interesting. Having been there the first time, I would say season one, they had a lot of the novelty aspect to it. And it really was riding this, we're grassroots, we're overcoming these tough things. We had a rough regular season, but come out for the finals, it's going to blow your minds. And I think with a big, large audience and the top casters, it was able to pull it off, and it really came off well, even with the mistakes in the first couple of days. Season two finals, for me as an online viewer, and people understand, I wasn't there, so this is, my perspective is a guy who watched.
Sure.
And as I watched, the first couple of days were a little bit embarrassing, just because that was when a lot of the players were coming out, and there's like pictures of, you know, one guy sitting on the side watching TT1 walkout or something
right,
like that. You
right,
know, like this
right.
Big, like the red carpet idea was amazing, but the only way for the red carpet idea to actually like implode on itself and be a terrible idea is if we're coming out to the sounds of like.
Right, right.
Like,
and you know, like, you know, well, like, so let me ask you a question, right? Because you're right, dude. It was not until day three when, and like, honestly, what I found, right? Because it was sort of a social experiment for me, the way I was like viewing this, right? Because it took people exactly a day and a half to realize, you know what? We should go over there when the guys come out. It'll be awesome. And then suddenly you noticed on day two, people started realizing like, okay. Yeah, and it did.
Yeah.
By day three, then it was like, okay, there wasn't enough room around there. So I found that to be really interesting.
People walking down the middle of the aisle with both hands out, slapping everyone's hands.
Yeah, right.
Signs hanging over. Amazing, amazing. So I'm not trying to say, like, that was bad. Don't ever do that again. What I'm saying is starting at 10 a.m. on a Friday, a weekday, for an event that is purely StarCraft II, and then there's, like, a nod to these other things. Like, waiting, I mean, I understand the glitz and glamour of announcing tribes mid-event, but maybe if they say, hey, at the NASL season finals, we're going to be announcing tribes as our new event, and you can come and demo it. You can get a demo from us. You can play it. We'll have playing booths, that kind of stuff. Other attractions, reasons why a person can say, hey, boss, I'm going to – I can't make it into work today. I got to go. As opposed to, well, it's Friday, which is just the round of 16. I could skip that. I could miss that. And the reason why that's important is because not only does it feed into the live experience for the people there, but for us at home, when they're like, and here comes Thor Zane! And someone's like, Thor Zane! Yeah! It's like, shoot. We need that. So my point is, season three and onward, what I would really like for NASL is to grab the people. Give them an effing reason to be there. And I'm not saying they didn't do that. I'm sure they tried. But designate larger portions of your resources to getting the people there so that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I feel like I'm watching an MLG-esque quality event, not a high school production into a great finish. I think that that's something NASL's lacking.
It brings up another question of, you know, at what point do we as organizations or tournament runners say, you know what, this is a great idea, but maybe it's not a great idea unless we know we're going to get those numbers. You know, unless we know we're going to have that audience there to do that. Or is it something that you keep a bit more reserved until that day three? You know, I don't know. It's like, on one hand, I'm really thankful that it turned out well by the end of the event, because I think that was obviously a risk they took that ended up being a good learning experience, right? If they don't have the people there for that sort of activity, you know, that sort of entrance thing, then you know what it's going to look like, and you know the reception it's going to get. However, with that being said, I thought it was incredibly fucking cool when it was quote unquote working. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, we talk about like highlighting and spotlighting the players, and like, well, this
GSL
was one
did
way.
Pretty much the exact same thing at the Coda's finals.
Yeah.
Like, they had both guys run down the aisle. Everybody had signs for them and everything. They're high fiving all their fans and stuff. It's like,
same idea
right there.
There's definitely a way to have too much, and I do feel like it wasn't too much.
If they shot fire and had glitter raining down, it would be too much. But actually, it was getting close. But I liked it. I really did. And I liked the flyby camera. I liked the angles. People are having fun with it. There's interaction there at the event. But for me at home watching this, it's like, all right, that's awesome. They sat down the booths. And if I could segue real quick, and hopefully I'm not detracting this too bad, but the players in the same booth facing each other.
Yeah.
Boom. Two thumbs up. If I had more thumbs to give, I would do it. That was amazing. There is nothing. I mean, StarCraft 2, like, let's face it, some of the challenges StarCraft 2 has is making it look intense for viewers, right? Like,
if
I see, like, fucking, who are some of these guys? Like, Greg wins? Puma? Yeah. Puma wins his match? He's like,
no, Puma, like, always pulls out his. By the way, make sure we talk about side bets, because I want some money.
You know, but with good camera work, panning in on those guys, and, you know, like, lick their lips. I mean, the potential, the intensity, that's heading in the right direction. I was really happy to see NASL be one of the first ones to do that, and I can't wait for more of that.
You know, additionally, like, there was something that, because they wanted it to be mic'd up in case there was any interaction between the players. And I think, like, this inadvertent thing happened. Hearing the key clicks
is annoying.
No. Did you guys hear it on the stream?
We didn't hear it on the stream.
Oh, man.
It's intense and awesome.
It was fucking glorious, man.
Yeah.
Like,
I
felt like I mentioned it a couple times during the cast. I'm like, I'm not sure if you can hear it. I didn't think they could, but I just shut up about it because it was actually amazing. Like, I don't.
That.
It was really weird, the ambience, and maybe you wouldn't have it all the time.
No way.
But it's just, it was pretty cool. I don't know.
You know what that reminds me of, Wheat, is GSL, for the people that watched the finals, and hopefully everyone did.
Yeah.
One of the aspects of that that really calls to me, and I don't know if this calls to everyone, so it's going to be interesting to put it out there, but the sound of Tastosis casting with the Koreans in the background, and like the thundersticks and the yelling, and them having to like raise their voices over that, intensified the for me. It made me feel like
absolutely.
I was a playoff NFL game or a big bowl game for football. Like, I felt the intensity. I don't understand a damn word those Korean commentators are saying, and I could care less, you know, about the the audience necessarily. Like, I don't know.
But they get you into it, though. That's the thing about the Korean commentators.
So,
yeah.
Joshy says that they had the booth mic'd at IPL3, but everyone thought it was kind of like bleeding over, so they actually like, you know, like turned it off. And I can understand. Like, I mean, maybe it was just. Like, for me, I don't know. For me, it was like the sneakers squeaking on a basketball court, you know? Like,
yes.
It was like, it just seemed right to be there.
Yeah.
And
I mean, yeah, I think for, like, moments, it's cool. But listening to key clicks over the course of, like, an hour nonstop would drive most people insane, right? Like, you should try, like, practicing for a LAN in a room with five guys, and everybody's like.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Until four, it's like. You can't focus. It's just too irritating of a sound.
Yeah, totally.
And when a squeaker sneaks across the hardwood, you know something cool is happening. Somebody's making a cool move. With key clicks, it's like, what? How do you know when something cool is happening?
I mean, honestly, like, it's kind of crazy I don't know. Maybe it's just, like, everything and the ambience of it all and shit, but I feel like you could tell. Like, you hear... The
intensity pick
yes,
up.
Yes, yes. You hear it pick up. And I mean, absolutely. You know, like, there's this weird thing when it comes to music and studio and miking and shit. And sometimes you can mic something and it sounds horrible. But then you mic it a different way or you use a different microphone and you pick up the sound a different way. And it can actually result in something different. Like, I think just, like, sort of the echo and hollowness of the room just made it sound... I wish I could replay what I was hearing in my ear because it was just really amazing. But anyway,
I agree with you. I think an organization should experiment with that. And if, it sounds like a few have timidly approached it. And of course, the big danger is it's not like we don't have the base. You know, we don't have the safety net to experiment too much in esports. Because if NASL tries one thing that ruins everything, they're screwed. You know, if IPL and their first event, if they blast that too much and it drowns out too many people's preferences. IPL's screwed. So I mean, it's gonna take some experimentation. But yeah. I want to say what we said. It should be worked on. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a lot more leeway for stuff like that. Like once there's like a patented recipe for success for tournaments. You know.
I agree. It's all. Once it's most all things little, are. Yeah. I mean the world of StarCraft II competitive gaming is kind of like a big chemistry set, isn't it? Like
it's kind of like the heart monitor thing with DreamHack. Right?
Powder does. Yeah, exactly.
Same kind of deal. It's like a cool little effect that eventually if you put them all together, I think that would be awesome. One thing I want to see way more of is like huge community interaction during events, sort of like the voting stuff that they had with DreamHack. It's like once people start spamming for one player to win, like during the game, it actually shifts the percentages and stuff. Yeah. I think things like that.
I also do like the addition of, like, you know, being able to do another live on three, live from the event, was really, really cool. I do want to give NASL a thank you for, you know, giving us the opportunity to announce Tribes, which is going to be a promotional title for Season 3 as well, because that was pretty sweet. And that was also, like, that made sense, you know, do it on live on three, traditionally FPS-related show as well. Made a lot of sense. But then they did the Day 9 Daily, which was cool, you know, added that additional content. And when you have a set number of matches, they could do that. Unfortunately, I was a little bummed because I wanted Rotterdam Mr. Bitter to do their little segment, but there was not enough time for that. And, you know, that was the one thing that the event didn't lack, it seemed like, is games. I mean, from the outside perspective, Jeff, how was the downtime aspect of it?
That is another area where I would be overly, not necessarily overly, I think I would be rather on point with my criticism of NASL. Sometimes the stay tuned StarCraft II is coming up screen would be up for, you know, 20, 30 minutes. Then they would cut to very awkwardly staged, you know, interviews or hosts. And what I would rather, again, I'm being that internet onlooker who wants everything perfect. So, when I say that, I don't expect perfection, but it's cool if a tournament strives for it. I really like IPL's roving interviews. I really like MLG's follow-up to that. They have Clutch going around. They have pre-made videos that are rolling. You know, I need content being produced beforehand or on hand for me to watch. And I think NESL could have done a better job with that. You know what you do? Idra's done with his games. You ask him. Hopefully he obliges. You grab him. And you sit him down with Rotterdam or Mr. Bitter, and you discuss right. Zerg for 20 minutes. You take DJ Wheat, and he goes off, and he goofs around with the Muslim, and they talk about the state of Terran right now in this patch. Whatever. You can take any angle you want at it, but I really think tournaments need to move away from the the solid overlay that plays on
coming
TV
soon.
Too long. Because tournaments are leaving that in the dust. If I watch an IPL production, if I watch an MLG production, I'm almost guaranteed not to face too much of that. So if there's this other tournament, NESL or DreamHack or whatever, that is doing that, then they're going to fall just that much further down on the totem pole as far as I'm concerned. So a small tournament like NESL, they can't be on point with that. They have to exceed. I need to be like, if I'm at the NESL watching 16 players play best of five, single elimination, you know, and there's downtime between those things, I need to be blown out of my seat with that, I think.
And Jeff, I want to add something here, guys. Okay. And you know what? Like, I want to make a really fair statement that I almost feel like belongs on Live on 3. But I feel like this did affect StarCraft in some way, shape, and form. The Han was incredibly long. And it just is. Period. End of story. It takes a lot of time to go through it. I don't mean any disrespect towards the game or anything like that, but that was obviously the harder thing to block. Like, for whatever reason, at the end of the day, the StarCraft games, generally, except for day one, because all the games were great, ended up, like, kind of evening themselves out, you know, and catching up. But, you know, I see that as continuing to be a problem when you want to try to add, like, I mean, let's be real, like, IPL kind of had similar issues with one team being, you know, two teams being so good that it went back and forth and is like, they forced the longest series possible. It's like, it has to finish, you know, like.
Yeah, absolutely. MOBA games just yield that kind of, like, ridiculous game time, especially between good teams.
I mean, it's so hard to include them and not, like, you know, completely.
I think the multi-game package needs to take a back seat or multi-stream it.
Multi-stream, like, yeah. I'm not saying get out of there, you know, do the finals, etc., but you introduce an unknown, and it's got to be like a scheduling sort of nightmare.
Right.
And we've seen it with other games before, you know, but it's not like a Quake game where, like, okay, this is a best of three and each game is 10 minutes. We know exactly how long it's going to take to play this. We can't even say that about StarCraft games. We've seen them go so long before, you know, so it happens. But that certainly, like, offset the schedule quite a bit.
Yeah, on average, StarCraft games are at least half the time.
You know, I'm not. We don't even need to do the comparison thing. I think we nailed it on the head. Like, I just don't think if I'm watching NESL right now, I am a StarCraft 2 player watching that. It's not like, oh, nice, they sprinkled in 2.5 hours of Han. No.
Oh, so they had it all on the mainstream. Like, they were interjecting Han.
They said here between play StarCraft at 12 p.m. because they anticipated Han start stopping then. I don't think Hero played till like at 2 or 3 p.m.
Wow. And it was all shown on the same stream?
Yeah.
So that's like showing, like, you know, like the baseball playoffs and football playoffs on a single channel and just like alternating between the two. The game types are so different. I mean, yeah, it's all esports, but even within esports, there's different sports, right?
Right.
So I don't really think that like doing some sort of like lump esports package and presenting that to all of the viewers as a whole is a really good idea. It has to be a separate stream. Like a fully separate production with its own fans and its own numbers and everything.
Right.
Preferably its own stage.
Are we going to try and get Grisha?
Yeah, one? Yeah. I'm trying to find out which one is.
So,
and honestly, for me, that just detracts from StarCraft as a whole. I feel like we should just be doing everything we can, everything in our power, to just blow StarCraft up.
Yeah.
Because it's not like one esport yet in history has gone to the point that StarCraft 2 is at. And even the same thing here at IPL. Like, you know, we do have a focus on the multi-gaming aspect of it, and we are pursuing other games. You know, obviously we have League of Legends involved. Fighting games are going to be involved. But, I mean, I think we should be focusing a lot of our effort on StarCraft 2 right now until it's at the point where it's like players are salaried, contracted with teams. All these teams are like franchises. It's like it's a professional league. We're not even at that
state. Right, right. No, I mean, I would agree with you. Part of it is building up to that. But, you know, I mean, we still – that's why I think finals would be really great about the yeah, a lot of people talked about the cameraman. Now, you guys got to explain this to me because seriously, guys, like when I'm in front of a camera, I don't see what you guys see, right? Right. So what was the deal?
Okay, well, let's not spend too much time on this because it's just really bad, and it would be like someone walking into a wall and being like, okay, let's talk about why that was a bad idea. The guy would zoom in on the interviewee, zoom out. Zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom in, zoom in, zoom in, zoom out, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom in, zoom in, zoom out. And he kept doing it. And I'll tell you what, I got up and I wanted to grab both ends of my TV, but it's too big. But what I would have done is I would have shaken it and said, stop it! Like, there's no technician school on the face of the effing earth that says, gentlemen, we've got here your standard XD36. Two zoom ins, one zoom out, three zoom ins, four zooms out, two zoom ins, two zoom ins, two zoom ins, one zoom in, three zooms out, and then a zoom out. Now you've got the angle on him that you want, and then you just film the shit out of him. It's great. Works good. Keep doing that. No fucking school on the face of the earth told this guy to do that.
Except for the guys that filmed the office.
I can only believe there was a guy sitting outside the convention center with his knees to his chest, going like this, like, do you have change? And they're like, you. Do you want a job? I will give you $40 to be the cameraman for the NASL. And he goes, I can do that. And then they bring him in, and he just zoom in, zoom, 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 zoom. And then that's their camera guy. Because that's how bad it was. That's how bad it was.
I feel horrible because
I haven't seen it yet, so I'd comment on it, but it sounds
pretty brutal. I feel like so horrible because like I had conversations with this guy. Like I learned that he's from Egypt and he shoots like documentaries for National Geographic and stuff. And he's a super cool guy. Like he had to leave Egypt because of the revolution and he's meeting back up with his wife and his kid. And here you are like completely just shitting all over. But I mean like, you know, you've got to make the viewer happy at the end of the day. And he obviously didn't do that job. So
it's not like, it was two zoom ins, and I'm just like, that's it! To the forums I go! This was so terrible! It was like literally a child had picked up the camera and was just going to town on it. So, again, I don't want to spend too much. In retrospect.
So it's that he's used to filming tiny bugs for documentaries? Makes sense. Maybe that's it.
Maybe I love the NASL, I love Russ, but what should have happened is Russ, from the very corner of the room, should have gone, shit! And he should have ran across the whole venue, slapped the guy in the face, caught the camera mid-fall, picked it up, and started filming while explaining to the guy his severance package, because it was terrible.
What do you guys think about bringing Andre on?
Let's do it.
All right,
yeah, why not?
Let's do this. Now,
one of my friends that was the camera. So,
let's see how long we can just sit here before Andre says hi. Hello? Greytorp? Greytorp? Greytorp's like being one of the callers right now. No, actually, it says there's a problem with the call. It's calling him back now. Holy shit, that's the most fucking annoying sound.
So loud.
Sorry.
It's all good.
You know, I hate to do it, but I'm going to have to.
You're going to have to what?
To our technical problems, NASL. Just teasing. Come on, Greytorp. Was he talking to you on Skype? Is he there? Or are we? He's like up making a chalupa right now.
I don't know. He was there. He said he was ready to rock and roll, man. I'm trying to bring him on, man. He's trying to do his job. Skype calling.
Oh, his computer just.
His computer.
So let's give him a second or two. He's gonna
Okay. Okay. All
right. He's restarting right now. Oh. It should just literally be a minute or two. State drives made by King Sniper X enter the memory.
Someone. Someone on Twitter said that I was at the event. I love the live show. This is Kreger. I love the live shows at the event. Also love the giveaways for the best cheerfuls, which I thought was kind of cool, where they just be like, hey, here's this, you know, giveaway to the best cheerful. And, you know, like, those are little things that I'd love to see at every single event. Like, that's awesome. You know, people put a lot of, like, time and effort into there. Just kind of, like, amplifies that even more. So, cool ideas there.
What do you guys think about, well, at least one really big thing for me with an ASL, and I haven't really been able to participate in the conversation fully because I obviously didn't see it, but at least last season and watching during this season, for me, I really like to watch a pair of casters that have good chemistry and work together really well. And I feel like NASL has yet to really like find their stride with the casters. And I think without, like, I think Jeff and Great Torp had really good rapport. And I actually enjoyed watching you guys. Like, it was funny. It was witty. You guys knew each other. You were friends. And now they've just kind of like cycled through like a bunch of different people. But then they brought in, you know, obviously you and a whole bunch of other people for the finals, which is cool. But during the season and the build-up, and the season is so long, like, you really need the casters to engage you in the game, and you have to kind of, like, follow along through the season with the casters, and I just, like, never really got hooked in that regard.
They're, like, let me, I've said this numerous times, but somehow it doesn't still connect with people, and this is the struggle and issue of the NASL. They hear the caster complaints, they know it. It's not like they think they themselves have this huge master plan that will conquer the world. Their issue is getting a caster to move to Ontario, California,
right,
living there full time, and then casting for the NASL full time.
Dude, let's be real, guys. This is a problem for every event as well that wants to do something ongoing, right?
That's the challenge.
Keep going.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you want to have a studio, a physical studio, which does up the ante in terms of production, right? Like, it's awesome having Kaldor beam in from Germany or Korea, where he is now, where he has a really nice setup. But it's still not two guys sitting right next to each other in jackets commentating some excellent play, right? If you want to do that, they have to be at the physical location. So IPL, they're doing it. They have an amazing dedication to esports. I love it. They have a huge budget. They're able to say, pain user, we're going to pay you a living wage that you can tolerate and we'll be happy with, and we'd like you to move here. No problem. You know, cat's pajamas. These guys move across the country to go do something for a wage that the NASL can't match. So I'm not trying to get up on a soapbox and say, oh, boo-hoo, NASL is the underdog. No, I'm not. But what I am saying is all the time in stream chats and on threads, I hear people say, gosh, they should just get Day 9 to do this. Or why the hell haven't they contacted Tastosis? And it makes me want to punch through time and space, right through the monitor, and knock their jaw right around their head. Because it doesn't make any sense if you actually think about it. Hang on, I've got Tastosis on the phone. Tastosis, I've got the opportunity of a lifetime. How do you feel about leaving Korea, quitting GSL, coming to Ontario, California for one-third the pay, and casting the NASL? Uh-huh. Okay, we'll try again later. Thanks. And then you, like, hang up. Like, it's just not going to happen. So they're getting the guys they can. They're doing the best they can. It doesn't mean we have to be completely okay with it. We can still be critical. But stop saying Day 9 should be their caster. It would be wonderful if he could be everywhere at once.
I don't even know if that's an option. Yeah. I don't even know if that's necessarily something he would even be interested in.
Right.
So it's tough. I mean, there's not a very big pool out there. That's for sure. And a lot of the casters that are out there are more like free agent casters, you know, like DJ Weed style, cast for multiple different organizations, not really interested in a position where they're locked down full time working for one specific organization.
You want to know what? Quite frankly, pain user, I'm not really interested in that position, period.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
you get the best of all worlds. Really.
I also feel like I can be the biggest benefit to esports in general by not being necessarily like locked to one thing.
That's important to me, you know, but I kind of agree.
And not only that, I mean, it's the best for both ways, right? It's the best benefit for esports, and then also like all the shows that you do and all the shows that you participate in can be kind of incorporated into these events as like additional content and things like that. LO3, Inside the Game, things like that. You can kind of like latch those on as little sub-content generators to events, which is also awesome because people enjoy that thoroughly.
So, let me just end with reiterating one more time, just to cover my own butt. Let me be critical of their commentators. That's totally fine. I'm not saying they are untouchable. Any choice they make in commentating is immaculate. You have no say in it because they're you know, handcuffed to that resolution. No. I'm not saying that. But specifically, Tastosis in Day 9, they can't be everywhere at once. That's just it.
Right. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We got Grey Torp now. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have Grey Torp. We'll talk a little bit more about the NESL. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to take your guys' phone calls as well. Hello, Kitty. How's it going? He knows it's break time. He wants a scratch. We'll be right back, guys. More ITG coming up here in just a moment. Don't go away. Alright guys, we are back for another hour here of Inside the Game. I think maybe another hour. We'll see how the night goes. Alright, so Grey Torp's computer does not like my computer. They do not like each other. They apparently have been engaged in an epic battle. Apparently both got dragged away for domestic disturbance, altercation. So Andre's just going to call with his phone here. So let me send him the number. I hope that's the right number. But we'll see if we get him calling in here in just a second. Welcome back to Inside the Game. We're going to bring Andre Grey Torp on. And hopefully we'll open the phones as well. But was there anything else that we missed, gentlemen, over the break? I mean, aside from just...
The games themselves. People are saying the lighting, you know, that was a little bit off. I mean, we don't have all day to talk about it, so I mean, the thing, what I'd like to just kind of bring in is that there was a lot of weird stuff, like the commentators' names were switched around, and the unfortunate position for NESL is they're kind of the guys where people are expecting problems to happen, so when they do happen, it's all anyone talks about, which is a really hard place to be in for that league. But I really want, like, for season 3 and onward, I want scripted interviews. I want people feeling really confident if they're the host up there. You know, it doesn't help when they let the camera linger on the guy for 15 seconds extra or something like that. But I just want, and the NESL wants it too, so it's kind of weird for me to say this. I guess I'm preaching to the choir. But I just hope for season 3 and on where they move towards a more crisp, confident, professional conducted show. I want guys up there who are like, well, the camera's still on me. This is incredibly awkward, but at least you get to look at my mean mug, you know, like,
right.
Instead of just like... I don't know. And then they give the camera the look of like they feel like they've just been caught doing something really dirty. They're like, you know. Anyways, I want more. They got to iron out those little things, and they got to have confidence. The red carpet, beautiful idea. The two players in the booth, wonderful idea. From what I saw of the venue, it looked gorgeous. I thought that was fantastic. I love casters in one place, players in another, four screens in a place. Yes, there were chairs too close. Okay. But everything else was really good.
Wait, chairs too close to the screens?
Some people are complaining that you had to, like, look straight up if you were directly.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, see, this is, like, the kind of complaint that I don't get, right? Because here's why. There were fucking 500 other chairs that you could have sat in, you sons of bitches. Like, they don't fucking sit there if your neck's going to hurt. God. Like, give me a break.
The biggest one they have to fix right away, though, because this is becoming a league norm, and if you're not the guy doing this, then you're dead, is you've got to be producing content between shows. I cannot be looking at an overlay for anything longer than 5 minutes at the very most.
Yeah.
If you're going to run commercials, which I think everyone should to make that money, that's fine. But after that, I need to see a Greatorp White Raw one-on-one interview. I need to see something that makes me go, oh, shit, I can't miss that because that's fascinating. I don't want to hear Brood War music over an overlay. As cool as that is, that's not what the other leagues are doing, and you're only falling
behind. That's everyone. That's like everyone, and it's a tough thing to do for sure. So we got Greatorp online. Greatorp, what's up, buddy?
Finally.
What's up, Go?
Dude,
sorry
hey,
about that. My freaking computer seems to like to die right before I want to go on this show. So,
Damn, so sad.
That's okay.
It's
you know
all
what?
Good, man. I can't even get on Skype when my computer's working. So
it'll
don't worry about it.
It's a good test because next Monday, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Greatorp will be appearing on Kings of Tin. So
can't wait.
Long time coming.
Hopefully, you are tuning in Monday for that. Of course, he's a busy man during the season, but now he's got some time off. He's going to spend it with us next Monday on Kings of Tin. So can't wait for that. What's up, man? Decompressed. The event is over.
Oh my god! I slept for 13 hours last night, and I woke up and had to go to the studio because we still have to unpack everything and set everything up. And then I just got back recently, and well, thankfully it was only a couple hours, like four, but it was good.
So, God damn it! Just like clawed the shit out of me, God.
She wants some camera time. She's like, you keep trying to push her off screen.
You've been tuned in, right?
Yep.
Been hearing some of the things to talk about. I'm sure you've read some of the stuff that's been on, and I'm sure you're also like me in that, you know, being at the event, like there was a lot of great stuff about it. A lot of stuff that we didn't even, you know, we couldn't see or we didn't experience it from one perspective. But, you know, like let's hear the Greatorp breakdown, man. I'd love to hear from you on it.
You know, there's going to be some excuses. There's going to be some whatever. I'll just break it all down. You know, NASL, we're going into this, and, you know, Jeff said it before, we're not gurus at everything that we do. We're learning very, you know, we're learning as we're going, and we're trying our hardest to do so. And I want to really emphasize that Jeff knows firsthand, because he's one of the people that have put in so much hard work and dedication into NASL, that all of us at the studio work our asses off to get this show on the road. And we are like the indie type of organization that's going into this. You know, even IPL and MLG have had their troubles before, and they fixed it really well. And they have the capability of fixing stuff. Sometimes for NASL, we can be quite overloaded. That's not an excuse to say, though, that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you should just overlook it because, you know, we're working hard, yada, yada, yada. No, I mean, you should always be very, very hard on us. It's really important. Not on us, on everybody. You should be hard on everybody because that's how we grow. That's how we can get better. Overall, I think that we did do a good job, us as the staff, with what we're, you know, our cards dealt. And, of course, I would have loved to have a lot of things go a lot better. You know, sadly, we kept it under wraps for a lot for the event, but there were a lot of different things. Just like season one, the projectors just like stopped working. Season two, we had all of our sound stuff actually mapped out and our lights, and something happened where both machines and also the switcher, I'm sorry, both machines right before the finals just reset completely, and we had no. We had no correct lighting anymore. We had the sound was all messed up, and the switcher had to be redone. And people were just frantic like hell. I was actually talking to Elliot about that right before during the cleanup thing. But that sucked. That sucked really, really badly. But overall, we put the show on, and you know, given the cards that we were dealt, I think as people, as workers, as, you know, as the employers at NASL, I think we put on a good show. Of course, we want higher numbers and everything, but we're going to, you know, really assess that and try our hardest to you know, increase all the numbers and do better what we could have.
You know, and we talked a little bit about those numbers, and, you know, I was even saying, like, I had a really hard time, like, trying to put my finger on it. You know, why? Yep. Why were the numbers the way that they were? You know, can you lend any, like, do you know, like,
I have theories. In terms of the well, I think a big problem was the 360p. I personally didn't like the 360p. I think it should go higher, and the reason is because we have a competitor's disadvantage. Right. Not only do we have a plethora of different tournaments that are going on that are live, we'll get to that later, but let's just assume that it was all live and, you know, we're all the same in that respect. You know, it's tough to justify watching the NASL stream with 360p. Not that it was terrible, don't get me wrong, but a lot of people like that quality. You know, here at the current stage of esports, I think a lot of us are spoiled because we get all this free stuff and the best quality and everything like that, and all these different organizations really put their heart and as much effort as possible to get the most amazing quality possible. And I felt like NASL, with the current business model that they have, it is not optimal. Not saying it's terrible, but it's not optimal. It needs to readjust accordingly to, you know, what what IPL and MLG is currently at. So I think that's one main thing, the 360p. The another thing was the Koreans. Obviously, that was a big hit, although I think still the player caliber was really, really cool. I saw some great games, and honestly, as recent tournaments have suggested, foreigners are not that far away from Koreans. Dare I say, you know, a lot of the top foreigners are at the stage where they can play at that level. So I think that whole spiel about, you know, Koreans being completely better, which obviously, I mean, I guess NASL did prove it and so did DreamHack. I do think foreigners are still giving the Koreans a run for their money, and hopefully they keep up in that fashion.
I'd have to agree with you. I mean, I just want to throw it out there. We've talked about it a lot, but it seems like the gap is starting to close, and maybe quicker than we all expected it to, but I would back you on that.
All right, and another thing, I guess, the attendance, I want to talk about that real quick.
Yeah,
The attendance, I think the timing is really difficult. Now, you know, you can say MLG is different, stuff like that, but the big thing is finals are coming up, and a lot of people are not, and I guess our main demographics are college students, you know? So having such a weird time right in the beginning of December where classes are closing up, there are tests that are coming up, whether it be in a couple of weeks. This week, I know TCNJ, the college I went to in New Jersey, we had finals starting right now. And that's a big problem. So a lot of times people can't come out for this. In July when we had our last finals, it's summertime. People say, let's go take a road trip. We had people from Wisconsin come to our last finals. I don't think we had people from Wisconsin coming this time because the time is really, really inopportune for that sort of thing to happen. So, you know, a mixture of things. I'm sure I'm forgetting stuff, but, you know, I'm just rambling on now.
Sure. What was your favorite thing about the NASL this season? You know, you've obviously been there for both. What was your favorite thing about the live finals?
The live finals, I'm really, really proud of the booths. I think the booths were you know, a little bit better than last season's. I'm not going to go that far. Last season's were pretty cool. Jeff had a really good time in those.
Sarcasm.
I think the other one was just the stage, everything about that. I think the four corner, just the whole venue. I really was proud of the venue. I thought it was really, really cool. It was unfortunate that the spectators come in, but
can
to
I
this
say
day,
that
I,
of all the venues that I've been to, you know, like for a live event, in terms of the way that this was featured, this was a top three venue of esports ever. And, like, I say that with a resume of like having attended hundreds of live events, and I can honestly say that the concept of the venue itself, the layout was pretty fucking awesome. So that was a big, in my opinion, that was a big win by NASL. Unfortunately, like again, it's also a setup that needs, you know, that fill to be 150% effective.
Yeah, we couldn't reap the benefits because obviously we didn't have the people to really show up there. It was really unfortunate, but overall, I think going forward, I mean, we're missing a pretty key component, but we have the other components to really work up to the type of finals that I think esports really wants. And I think it's a pretty instrumental keystone in just developing this scene.
Payne, usually you've been a little quiet. Any questions for Greytorp? Any thoughts on what he said? Or you guys want to?
I mean, had I watched it, I'm sure I'd have some questions. But I mean, I think he's definitely addressed the points you guys asked him. Right well, on. I mean, right on.
Just I would stress, despite and I've been there. I know the stress is on NESL.
Yeah,
you got to have content between the things.
Yeah.
I know that wasn't Lindsay Spore this year, or this one rather, but you guys got 11 guys there. Someone's got to do it, or some no name, I don't care, but someone's got to rove around with those cameras and put them to use.
Sure.
And the reason I say that, and even if that's like, well, we just can't do it, you got to find a way, because man, it's going to become the one thing that NASL is doing that everyone else isn't. That's a bad thing, you know.
Correct.
The last thing NASL needs, as far as I'm concerned.
So,
now,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to reiterate that. I'm sure we look back and then say, oh, god damn it, we should have done that. That was really silly of us. Obviously, we had remnants of that with the interviews. I know DeMuslim got interviewed, things like that. But, yeah, obviously that needs to be worked on. And hopefully we do that for Season 3. I'm almost going to guarantee that we do.
Season 3, it's definitely coming. Tribes announced as a promotional title. Your sort of thoughts now as you probably wind down a little bit and then probably fire back up into Season 3. Like, what are your goals?
Well, Season 3, we aim to get more casters. That will be amazing because right now, the production of NASL, it has a lot of responsibilities on a few number of people. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't think we're necessarily understaffed, but we just have a lot of work to do, and it fills up our days. And it's nice to have someone else. I'm sure Pain User understands this too, because he does his segments. Like, to have someone to talk to about, hey, what's the best segment to do this? How do we, arrange this, like the top 10, things like that. It's always great to be doing that with people instead of doing it yourself, or, doing it with just one other person that we might have completely different mindsets on, because he's... Well, Elliot, he's not a pro gamer or anything, so it's hard to really differentiate the two. But yeah, like just to have more people, and that way I can work on the casting, which I want to do. Obviously, I'm not a play-by-play caster, but based on the people that have come in, I've been forced into that role, and it's been very, very frustrating for me as an employer there, just because I want to be the very best analytical caster in the entire scene. And I don't think that I've been able to do that. I've been able to even train that. I've been forced down a path. And it's kind of, I think, typecasting me as a specific type of caster. And it's also put, a negative connotation on my type of casting. And people are judging that based on me being a play-by-play. But I'm trying to go into analytical while I'm casting normally. And obviously, it's just everything's out of place in that respect.
It's tough to do both, right? It's kind of like if you're going to be, it's the dynamic between casters is huge. But if you're going to be in the analytical role, which is definitely where you started out, it's really nice to have an anchor or have somebody who has your back, who's really smooth with the transitions. Somebody Cat's Pajamas, who casts with me, or DJ Wheat is awesome. I've worked with him before as well. I mean, it's really nice to have somebody who can fill that role too. And you've kind of saying you've been forced to fill that role as well, which puts a lot of pressure on you as a caster for sure.
if you think about the people that have come into the NASL, we had what, LZ Gamer, we had Orb, we had Gunrun. I'm forgetting people, of course, but LZ Gamer, Orb, those two players are strictly, they want to analyze. I mean, LZ Gamer obviously is a player. People go watch the NASL. If they're watching for LZ Gamer, they want to know what is he thinking. So for me to do an analytical role, it's counterintuitive, and you know, it's just silly to do that because I'm not utilizing his strengths. Orb obviously loves to be an analytical caster, so we fill that role accordingly. And then Gunrun, I think he's just been out of practice for a while, but in that, I had to obviously anchor a lot of the cast just because he wasn't good at doing that filler, I guess, things like that. So, yeah, just going on that, it's going to be so nice, like working with Cast Pajamas, working with Total Biscuit, players like that, where there's obviously just obvious synergy. You know, there's obvious synergy between us just because we can do our roles and we can concentrate on them during the casts. And that's really important whenever you're casting matches.
Right on. Yeah, for sure. I hear you. That's definitely something I had to work on a lot, too. Coming from like a strictly analytical background and being a pro player before, it's like you really want to focus on the analysis. But it's nice having worked with other like host casters because you kind of pick that up off them as you go along. And you can kind of sort of start to fill both roles and like up your skill level in the different categories. But I agree, it's really nice to stay in the comfort zone and just kind of hang out in the analysis area. That's my home base. Whenever I'm lost, I just go straight into analysis mode.
since we're just kind of talking about, there's also like the added part, which is like the host mode, the take care of business mode. Because, you know, as we get more sponsors and as we try to appeal to like a more mainstream audience, you know, like people are trained via television, right? They watch a football game and they expect it to open with the pre-show and be like this and have guy, you know, and this brought to you by blah, blah, blah. And so that part becomes important as well. So, that's always
I can totally sympathize with Greatorp's point there, though, because that's something that I was personally terrible at that I really had to work on. And thankfully, I had people around me who were really good at it, so just I could like absorb by osmosis their talents in regards to being a host, and it's just kind of something you pick up over time. But I hear you, man. Like being forced into that host situation,
you've changed quite a bit, and obviously for the better. You sound great now, and I'm really happy for you because you have great people to work around with. I can't stress enough. Like I really look up to. HD, I looked at Cats, Pajamas, because to me, they do things that not many people in the world can, and people need to start realizing that, you know, play-by-play is a lot harder than people think. It's not just calling out the stuff. They have to be able to articulate very fast. It's like rapping, you know? Rapping is really, really difficult if you don't know how to, even if you do know how to do it, it's really freaking difficult, and that's what play-by-play to me is. But to go off your questions more, Marcus, another thing I really want to do is get more into the decision making with how the play or what the players will be playing on, whether it be maps, but like also just rules and regulations, things like that.
Right,
because
on.
What did you say something?
Yeah, I said right on. I think that's great.
Oh. Yeah, so I'm going to be doing that. Obviously, we need new maps. I think the map set that we have right now are very outdated. I didn't have any control over that before. But, me and Duran, we're going to sit down, and I'm going to tell them all the good maps that I think are out right now, what are fair, what are balanced, and we're going to go from there. Hopefully, we can get 9 new maps or, maybe one. I'm thinking Antigua Shipyard, I'll just say that, is going to stay. But the other 8 have to go, in my opinion. And,
the other 8?
We'll
gonna be fucking shaking that shit up big time.
Yeah, man.
Full revamp.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, well, we're still playing on Zelnaga. We're playing on Crevasse. Terminus, I think, inherently has its disadvantages for some particular races. There's a lot of big problems, I think, that don't... Maybe Shatter Temple, say. Excuse me. Shadow Temple. It's not overly bad.
Bring back that map where the lava rises, man, Greytorp. Just fucking...
Shut your dirty mouth.
Yeah.
Some guy's listening is like, oh my god.
That'll be awesome, man. Happen. But I'll probably take off all gold expansions on every map. I don't like gold expansions.
I totally agree with that. I'm all for that, man. And we both play Terran.
Just little things like that, but I want to get the game as balanced as possible, and even if there are imbalances in the game, which I don't necessarily think so, I'm going to work my hardest to try to diminish that with the maps as much as possible. So you might see some very, very new things come out. I'll talk with the pros. That's especially what I'll do. If you actually, throughout the NASL and all MLGs, I always ask everybody, what would you want to change in NASL, whether it be maps, things like that. I try to get everybody's input, and hopefully we can get a much better map pool in that fashion, and everybody will be happy, I think.
All right, well, Greytorp, thanks for coming on. Any final thoughts, comments, anything you want to throw out there while you've got an audience here?
Yeah, just thanks. NASL Season 3, obviously NASL Season 1, it started one way, and then I think we've gotten so much better since NASL Season 2. NASL Season 3 is going to be even better. And I hope you guys, just give us a chance. Every other organization is going through its woes. We don't have a lot of experience with live finals, but I think you are seeing a very huge shape up in everything, and we are going to hit it out of the park, in my opinion, for these finals. So please be very open-minded. Try not to be so cynical, because we have enough cynicism in the world and in esports. Be constructive. And I guarantee you that NASL listens to everybody's comments, and we try to do what's most fair for everybody. And sometimes we can't just drop the ball and switch it immediately. Sometimes we can. And I hope you guys realize that, especially seeing the changes from Season 1 to Season 2. And I hope you continue to support us.
Right on, dude.
Thanks for the candid words,
yeah,
brother.
Give Greytorp a little round of applause, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
And I will see you Monday for Kings of Tin.
Hell yes.
I cannot wait.
Kings of Tin is the best, man.
Bring your A game, bro. And some beers.
Of course.
Some beers. Awesome. See you soon, buddy.
Actually, I won't bring beers. Really quick, I won't bring beers. I don't know if you know this, DJ Wheat. I wasn't drinking at the after party. I lack the enzyme to decompose alcohol. So I get plastered in one shot. And when I say plastered, I mean plastered, like pass out drunk.
Yeah.
Awesome. Just bring one beer then.
One beer.
All right, man.
All right.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yep. Bye-bye.
All right.
One beer.
Can I tease Greytorp now that he's gone a little bit?
Sure.
I'm just kidding. I love the guy.
Fire away.
Holy shit. I could make some really good money off of saying, Greytorp, I'm going to teach you how to hype something. He's like, Season 3? Like, the only comparison I can make is, like, a really awkward guy approaching an extremely attractive girl. He's like, hello, I've noticed you from across the room, just over there. I find your bosom to be rather robust. If you don't mind me saying, the way you're wearing your clothes is very flattering. And I have what you might call a financial background adequate enough to sustain several dates with you, and I'd like to do that in the near future, if you don't mind. He's like, Season 3 is going to be awesome. Give us a chance, please. I mean, we're not very good at live events, but, we'll get there. You guys did a fucking awesome job with the live event. It was great.
Yeah.
It was fucking awesome. We have our criticisms because it's a show where we're going to talk about the stuff that needs to get better, but they did a great job. Yes, it had its problems. Of course you need to address that and talk about that. But when you mention Season 3, motherfucking Jones, you get on your horse.
Yeah.
You talk about how that shit's going to be fucking amazing. Now, you don't have to make promises about bringing in a million people or you're going to split the world in half with excitement and joy, but come on, man. Come on.
First of all, Jeff, I think that pickup line would work flawlessly 9 out of 10 times.
I could see DJ Weed at the end of Live on 3. He's like, yeah, anyway, so fucking, yeah, the fighting scene, right. They don't have any idea. So I do have a little bit of an announcement. If it would appease most of you, the highest percentage of people for which I am speaking to at this point in time, Epileptic Gaming is going to make perhaps a cautious return back to the scene. I would like it to be a show that you guys can trust. If not, well, then I'll do my best to try and do that. Like, the internet blows up. Like, whoa, Weed's giving a safe response. No. Weed's going to shake his cat and go, cat, get the shit out of here! Like, just fucking yelling. It's all shaking, and Scooch is like, and Slashers. Yeah. It'll be a fucking bad show. That's everyone. Live on three.
It'll be great.
Weed's going to town with the Baneling.
Dude,
I love Greetorp.
My cat.
He just... It pains me. It's your job now, Greetorp. You got to get people excited, man. Do it.
Do it. Hype that
Hype
shit.
Hype it up.
What do you guys think about taking some phone calls?
Do it.
I'm down, dude.
Yeah? Want to take one?
You want to take one?
You want to take one? Let's take our first one. We got Desro on the line. Desro, what's up? Welcome to Inside the Game.
What's up?
How's it going?
Dude, Desro is all over the place, man. We keep getting replays from him for IPL TV, Community Spotlight. Has some pretty funny games.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, the nuke was painful, man. It was painful. Yeah. Your reaction was priceless. I was sad it wasn't in the top five play. Because you really priceless reaction.
It might be in one of the upcoming ones. I wouldn't be surprised. I submitted it for top five, so we'll see. I submitted one for top five and one for worst five.
Damn, that's sad. I had a question. Not to put you on the spot, but has been pain user with IPL. And also you, Wheat. It's sad Greetorp left, because it would have been nice to have his input. But, you know, rebroadcasting, like for Euros, and then you have IPL rebroadcasting, like, you know, 5 hours a night. I know one more game doesn't rebroadcast at all. Nothing. Everything's live. I just wanted to know you guys' opinion about that. You know, like the rebroadcasting stuff.
I'd like to use this opportunity to
give me your rant.
No.
give me it.
I think that rebroadcasting.
Oh, I just lost volume.
What? What? You lost me? What? What the hell just happened?
I can hear you.
Okay. Carry on.
Sorry. It's like, oh my god. I think that rebroadcasting is absolutely something that every major tournament, etc., should do. With that being said, I believe that it is up to a service provider to give you the tools to do that.
Okay.
Wink, wink, but, nudge, nudge.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
No, but, like, when you look at IPL, I don't know, like, they kind of overdo it. Like, I mean, I'm obviously one of the like, bottom featured streamers, but they definitely, like, pull in a lot of numbers. And it's not, like, I'm not tempted to stream just because I know, like, they'll take, like, 2K of the market at night. Obviously, in control doesn't have that problem. He gets on, and 5 minutes later, he has 3K, which is pretty nice for him, but... You know, I think, like, if you start doing it, if NASL does it, MLG does it, DreamHack does it, like, what does that leave us for, like, you know, the hardworking people that, you know, are not a brand?
I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, for me personally, and working with IPL, like, that definitely was not a priority for me. The whole rebroadcasting thing, but largely that's totally out of my control. Like the higher ups control the entire broadcast schedule. I can only give my input, but for me personally, I don't think the rebroadcasting method is a really good idea. A lot of times it creates confusion. People don't know when we're actually live, when it's the rebroadcast, what exactly is going on.
But then how do you cater to, because you know what? The biggest complaint we get, even about this show, Pain User, is that I wish this was at a Euro-friendly time.
Yes.
If I offset this show by 8 hours and made it...
Well, it ruins everything for us, right?
Let me speak real quick on behalf... I want to defend the Europeans real quick. Okay? It's already not fair that America has all the funny people, all the talented people, all the media, all the content. It's not like you think that's funny and you're all like, oh, we've got all the talent and all the media. It's not, okay? The Europeans were stuck with just nobody that's funny. Nobody that is funny. And it is so tough for them to have to wake up. Like, the discotheque closes at 3 a.m. I got to sleep in until 12 p.m., okay? Otherwise, the herd's out the gate, and then I got to run all up and down the Alps, grabbing them back, okay? It's fucking ridiculous. And the last thing I want is for you to take away my rebroadcast. Okay, the rebroadcast, NESL Season 1, it had like 5,000 people watching it every time. If it's there's not going to be a legitimate complaint, as far as I can tell, from us Americans to be like, take down that rebroadcast. Because for a lot of them, that's their first broadcast. That is not the rebroadcast for Europeans. That is the first broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that the fact that we're able to watch multiple streams now, if we want, you know, like, people have the bandwidth to be able to do that. Like, I think it really is for those that missed it. But, I mean, I want to ask you, Desra, do you feel like because of the rebroadcast that maybe it has hurt your overall ability to maximize, like, your viewership? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, back when NASL had 5K in the afternoon, a couple months ago, season one, yeah, obviously, but, you know, I'm not, like, I didn't call because I'm butthurt about it. I called because, like, even, like, TL had a pool about it. They were like, or should we let IPL rebroadcast, or should we feature them, or should they appear on the calendar?
Yeah, but in all fairness, I think that was more because it was like they were always featured on the webpage.
Exactly.
Versus, and that almost became more confusing as well.
They sort of resolved it. Basically, the way they put it to us was, unless it's a specific event. So we started contouring all of our scheduling around having specific events. Like, we do the Team Arena Challenge. We do the Fight Club Show Match Series now. So if it's a specific event, you have two specific players going heads up, then it can be featured on Team Liquid. If it's just a rebroadcast, it just goes under the other content section now, while still being featured, but not like a primary feature on Team Liquid. That was their resolution to it. And I think that's fair. I mean, I don't think that we should be snubbing out other organizations that are running events that are worthy of a front page preview if we're rebroadcasting something.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think, like, I've been trying to call for a month now, and I think they definitely fixed it, and, like, it was an issue, but I don't think it's an issue anymore. Just wanted to know you guys' opinion on it.
Well, I mean, it's something that we'll actually see, because I guarantee you that rebroadcasting will become more common. But it's going to help us all when there's more content on all the time. Trust me, it's good to have a choice. It's good to have that variety. Nothing ever gets stale. I watch 5 different streams during the day, you know, like, just, I know that there are other people like me. There are people that have their favorite streamers. Right. There are people that just hop around from game to game.
I know a lot of us wish the GSL rebroadcasted.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. But I think it brings us to good points, Ezra, and I appreciate your call, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Have a good day. Easy.
Peace. I don't ever want to not have rebroadcast, though. I think it's, you know,
well,
for me,
if it
too,
doesn't work for an organization, they're going to not keep doing it, right? Like, there's, you don't see IPL rebroadcast to 15 people. If they did, they would stop doing it.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely, like, it brings in a lot of viewers, and they all aggregate towards our total viewership. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world for IGN to rebroadcast their content, and for any major tournament organization, for that matter, although some don't.
Bring our next caller on. We'll just make it like Canadian night here. We got Miracle Worker on the line. What's up, Miracle Worker?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to touch on the subject of maybe not necessarily rebroadcasting, but filling in those blanks. Do you know, with you guys being to all the tournaments you've been to, has anyone approached community casters? I know MLG has their beta casts, but with the option of having them provided with saved games of that tournament and then just filling in the blanks with, you know, we have 45 minutes till the next game, this game is close to that, throw it in there with these casters. What do you think?
Interesting idea, but that would be a very dangerous business model, because I mean, the issues that come to mind immediately are quality.
Quality, schedule, like, interfering with other match times, trolling.
Them not being hosts, you know, like, if I put on a production like an NASL, MLG, IPL, that kind of stuff, I want it to be a crisp, professional production. So throwing it around to the community is a really cool idea. I don't want to, you know, Mr. Miracle Worker, I don't want to get away too far from involving the community, but when you're putting on a production and your livelihood depends on the professionalism of that production,
you have to pay for those services through MLG.
That's absolutely right. Like, I was just thinking, like, it wouldn't be the thousands upon casters who love to just do this with a passion, but they employ the people they like. Let's say, you know, 10 more casters who aren't going to the event but are at home. They would do it, you know, because they have faith in their abilities to do it, and just would that work?
I mean, let's give credit where credit is due. MLG did provide the beta streams, which were for community casters that sort of, that were trying to make their name for themselves, and they worked with MLG and showed them their stuffs and casted replays, because as MLG was releasing replays, they cast them and providing them, and that was like one way that these guys got involved with MLG, and as they do more and more events, I guarantee you that we'll probably see, you know, more and more of them involved in those roles. But I would actually like to make another suggestion, because while that's a good one, what I don't understand is that now as we have more and more leagues getting more and more content, it's like, why aren't we seeing legacy, like IPL's doing it, they're making a lot of top five plays, top five blunders, you know, top five specific race plays and stuff like that. And suddenly you create this library in which, you know, even if I see it a couple times, I'm still going to probably appreciate it. And it's going to be better than Talking Head commercial, or whatever, you know, or just a fucking slate, which we all hate as well.
That's exactly what we're doing.
MLG has two seasons. Right. IPL now has the two seasons plus the live event. NASL will have two seasons. And I really sort of put out the challenge to all of them is that with that much content, focus and effort should be put into creating stuff that will fill those gaps. And suddenly we won't even be talking about this kind of stuff anymore. We'll be like, God, you know, they need to do top 10 plays now because top five just isn't enough for us, you know? But
yeah, for sure.
You know, I like that idea, but what I don't like what MLG is doing is they're progressing to more streams instead of having the mainstream without the gap at all. You know, you say here's some options to fill it in, but their direction they went was, oh, well, here's two more streams so that now you can't decide which you want to watch because they're both full of amazing players. What do you want to do? I just don't like that gap, you know, and no one does. I would just wanted to see something to fill in there instead of eight options of different streams with gaps. I didn't like that. But I thought NASL was awesome, a little empty, but, you know, that's too bad. You know, I don't know what they could do about that. But thanks for taking my call, guys.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Peace.
Thank you. Excellent. Let's take another call here. We got area code 513 online. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Oh, awesome. I got through.
You got through.
Sweet. First of all, I'd just like to say thanks for doing what you guys do. I'm a big fan, and I have a lot of respect for you. My question is kind of two-part. Well, first, it's basically a plug for my clan, Team Tactical Carnage. I do casting for them. And my question basically is, I hear you guys talk all the time about, you know, improving and things like that, and I kind of guess that I want to know some specifics on what I can do. You know, I watch you guys. You're all great casters. I just kind of want to know what I can do to make myself better.
As a caster or as a player?
As a caster.
Isn't part of making yourself better as a caster trying to make yourself better as a player, too?
Yes.
Well, I mean,
yes, absolutely, okay. To an extent.
I mean, that's like 60% for me.
My checklist, make sure you're playing the game, and if you're going to commentate, you're going to want to dabble in the other races as well, just getting away from your own. There's obviously a thread running through the successful casters. When I name off the successful casters, almost at no point am I naming a guy who's very boring, very calm, but man, does he crunch those numbers fantastically well, right? You need to have good voice inflection. You got to have a good sense of humor. If you don't have those things, watch other commentators, pick up on their clips, work on public speaking. One of the best things a lot of these guys have. I mean, oh, DJ Wee was a debater. Total Biscuit took broadcasting. I did debate. Cats with Pajamas did broadcasting as well. It's just you got to find another outlet or work on it on your own. Read speeches in the mirror. Do something. But if I hear a caster who's like, well, gosh darn, these dropships are just tearing him apart. You know, like, that's not going to get you very far. You have to be like, the dropships are tearing him apart. There's chaos everywhere. Like, there's definitely ways to speak to make yourself better, and you have to get out, consume that content, find out what's successful, and then you need to be knowledgeable about the game right now. The people that get that do okay, that are known as the non-knowledgeable guys about the game, still play it almost all the time. And that's what you have to do.
Okay, well, for instance, I come from a background in theater and public speaking, I'm trying to find ways to kind of implement that and put that into my casting to, you know, kind of go beyond just the average, you know, analytical, this is what's happening in the game, and, you know, I'm talking about it. You know, I do see what you're saying, I'm not sure how
what's
I can
name?
Implement my views into the game.
What's your name?
Zach,
if you cast for me in Old English as Shakespeare a match, I will broadcast, I will promote, I will tweet the shit out of that entire thing. If you set yourself apart from other people, if you do the best you can to make yourself unique in something that people are attracted to, and then you work at it, you tweet it, you use YouTube videos, you make a thread on Team Liquid, you have a blog that you update on Team Liquid, you post on Reddit each time you're about to cast a tournament. If you put your name out there, no, your first broadcast is not going to have 7,000 people, but maybe your 50th one will. If you work hard enough, the people will come. But if you're just another commentator who does not work on it, doesn't have that X factor, it's going to be really hard. It's going to be really hard. There's a privileged position for a lot of these
people. Real tea right here, for sure. Yeah.
A lot of these people, like... they are able to jump into commentating, they're on the biggest stage, and they're doing okay, not because they're the best commentator, but because they're connected, and they put in the work some other way. There's some other facet of their lives that got them into that position. For you, my guess is you don't have those connections. So you have to work harder and set yourself apart, and eventually you'll find out your mettle. You know, maybe you'll get there, maybe you won't, but the journey is what matters.
All right.
Well, great, I really appreciate that, guys.
And keep at it, man. That's the other thing. Like, you know, you could not be a great caster by taking bong hits and falling asleep on your couch. You know, you've got to get out there. You've got to be making YouTube videos. You've got to be broadcasting on Twitch, whatever. Find all the dailies, all the play-ems, all the different, all the different daily tournaments going on. A lot of them will allow you to broadcast. Sorry, I said, like, go for SC2s, etc. They couldn't come to my head, Jeff, okay?
No,
oh, okay.
Someone in stream chat just said, I seeth drop ships over yonder, but let's pursue it.
Yea, verily, they are coming in, and soon he shall be completing utter carnage.
Yeah. Honestly, like, and just to add to that, I would say try and, like, Jeff kind of touched on being unique, finding something unique that not all the other casters have, and then you got to try and find your niche. Like, what role do you want to fill as a caster? What kind of caster do you want to be? Do you want to do your own solo thing? Do you want to find a partner to work with and come up with, or do you want to try and, you know, do your own solo thing and then get on the big stage and partner up with somebody else? And you need to kind of define your role as far as, like, which type of caster you want to be.
Good point.
And then just work on all the different areas of casting. Right, there's so many different attributes that make a good caster. It's just like being a good player, right? There's micro, macro, strategy, all these different things. So just do whatever you can to up your game in every different field and learn from all the other casters. Just pick up what you can, and then I think having a sense of humor is huge, though. Like, you need to be comfortable in front of people. You have to be comfortable in front of people, in front of crowds, and you have to be humorous. Otherwise, I just don't really think you have a chance.
All right. Great words, Pain User. And thank you very much, Zach. Have a good one.
Have a great one, guys.
Take care. And good luck. You'll need it. I'd buy that for a dollar in Control.
Oh my God, what game was that?
Well, hold on. That was Smash Television. Smash
No.
Yeah, Smash TV.
Good luck. You'll need it.
Big money.
Yeah.
Big prizes.
There it is. Smash TV. Is that what it was called? I remember that game.
Smash TV. You're
old school. You like get thrown in the little arena and
yeah, you like pick up VCRs and television and like kill lots of stuff. It's awesome. It's awesome. Big money. Let's take another one. We got Heath on the line. Heath, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Oh, hey, what's up, guys?
Not much.
Hey.
Hey. You said you were looking for people who went to the NASL event?
Yeah. Did you go?
I did.
Awesome. Yeah. And what's your breakdown of it? What'd you like about it? What'd you not like about it? Give it to us.
Well, it was kind of like when I got there Friday morning, and it was really empty. Like, and I figured it was because of Han. So, I mean, I played Han before, and I kind of liked it, but I never really watched it competitively. I was watching, and it was kind of like I could see what was happening, but they didn't really do a great job of explaining, like, okay, why is this lane doing this? Why is this hero here? It was all just kind of like they were maybe casting to Han fans, and they kind of left all the StarCraft fans out and just kind of like, oh, figure it out, you know?
I think they used casters from the community for Han, though, correct? Like,
yes,
pre-established community casters?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. In a way, it's almost like insulting to, like, dumb down the cast. If you were formerly a competitive player or if you're, like, a prominent community caster for a specific game, it's really tough to, like, dumb down the cast to, like, the very, very basic level, like the introductory level, because you assume everyone watching is a fan and already understands the game, but I kind of see what you're saying.
Well, yeah. Tell us more about your perspective as a leader of the StarCraft event, though. You know, like,
yeah.
Like, we all agree the Han thing was kind of silly.
Because I was sitting with a group of guys, and, you know, I was kind of asking them, like, do you know, kind of, you know, like, are you able to follow this? And they were like, kind of, but you know, we were never really able to get into it.
You know, I certainly understand that. And I think that's like a bigger issue in general for all the MOBA games. I don't think that Han is excluded from that. League of Legends, Dota 2, even Dominion. You know, frankly, it's hard because, right, you're catering to that group that probably plays the game pretty intimately, knows it well. And those people are still going to produce good numbers, but you're absolutely right. You know, I was able to pick up only a little bit, you know, without getting a full rundown. So, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's, you know, but I bet there's probably Han players that are like, these StarCraft casters don't say shit. Like, what the fuck is it? You know, I mean, you kind of have to flip the tables a little bit. I don't know. Guys, what do you think? Yeah? Great.
I was also going to say, kind of like in between games, it was kind of cool. I really liked the whole thing they did with the giveaway and the Twitter and all that, and it kind of got you, you know, maybe, you know, interactive with guessing the scores and stuff. But as far as in between games, it was kind of like I kind of got a little bit happy because when the Han ran a little late on Friday, because it kind of closed the gaps in between the games that were supposed to happen. Because, I mean, if it was like half hour, I don't know what I was going to do, because how many times can you really, you know, just, you know, walk around the same area that you're looking at?
Right. No, I could certainly understand that as well. And I think that probably every event has to think about that. You know, even my wife, right? My wife in Miniweek came to the first events. And it's like, if she didn't know anyone, she would probably hate life. Because you can only play the Vita so many times. You can only get so many free cans of, you know, DP. et cetera, et cetera. I get it. I like when she told me that, I'm like, dude, I get it. You know, I got something to do all day, so I can't really relate. But anyway, I definitely appreciate your thoughts. Thank you very much, sir.
No problem.
Take care, Heath. Bye-bye. See ya.
Where's Goat Lust at?
I don't know. Is it time for Goat Lust? It is, isn't it?
It's about that time, isn't it? Hell, chaps.
We got 10 minutes, don't we?
Yeah, but it usually takes us 10 minutes to fucking close the show, man.
I'll tell you what. That's fine. But if we leave off with a couple of minutes, sweet, you're killing esports.
I know. So. We won't. We won't. Goat Lust always takes at least 7 minutes, man. At least 7 minutes.
All right.
At least.
In weed, I trust.
Yep. All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
He always sounds so cheery, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, the one, the only, Goat Lust. Hello, sir.
Oh, yeah? G'day, mate. How
g'day.
Are you?
What up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah? Yeah, not a whole lot, mate.
Goat Lust, I feel like you would have really enjoyed the side betting that was going on at NASL.
Pretty good, was it?
Were you aware of, like, what was going on?
Oh, well, I saw that guy who came up on your little Live on 3 thing. Okay. And saw his whole spiel.
Yeah.
Looked pretty interesting.
Yeah, I won $2 total net.
Oh, God.
In the finals matchup, so, yeah.
It's like my mom who comes back from Vegas having won $15.
Dude. Hey, you know what? I won.
Hey, coming
$2.
Back with $15
next
from
time,
Vegas
like, but
to come
the
up.
Problem is that Jeff, if I would have started at the beginning of the event, then I would have won a lot.
Yeah, like at least like $12 or
dude.
14.
But I mean, like the bets that were, you know, one of the most exciting bets of the night was who will walk down the red carpet quicker, Puma or Hero, and I almost made Day 9 deaf when it was Hero who won. Because Sir Scoots actually stopped Puma. And I screamed into my microphone and Day 9 was like, what the fuck? I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I just won a dollar.
Oh, that's too good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. And then the other bet that was super intense was which player would touch their face first during each game.
Who won that one?
Well, I won net because I went for Hero and he did twice. So... Or three times total. Four. 4-2. So there you go. Goat Lust, what's up?
Yeah, not a whole lot. All right, my question this week, Wheat, what did you get with your $2?
I'm actually saving it, man. You want to know what I'm going to do with my next $2? I'm going to use it for side bets at the next event. I think it's the greatest thing ever. I'm all over it.
Oh. You have your own little
I'm
pool,
sure that I'm
so
making,
you don't get too into it?
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure I'm making, like... parents angry around the globe, but I don't care. It was fun as shit. I completely intend to do it again, and you won't be able to stop me.
I'll take a side bet with you, Wheat.
All right, well, we just have to, like, find some stuff to side bet on.
Yeah, like a couple hundred bones.
What? No, like they're dollar side bets, so I can make, like, 30 in one match. Come on, get with the program. You know, like, who's going to lift first? Who will have a unit that dies first? It's good stuff.
I'd rather take over-unders on the series.
I bet you would. All right, Goat Lust, what is right. up? What do you got
My
for us this
question.
Week? Yes.
Yeah. All right. So, you wouldn't fucking believe it, right? But that that bastard who called in just the very last call
yeah.
sort of dipped into... what I was going to ask about. But,
what? Dude, you better check your computer for key logs.
So now we're testing...
Yeah, I tell you what.
Goat Lust's improv skills.
Right, exactly.
I'm getting fucking targeted here. Anyhow, I was just going to ask, like, with all these MOBA games coming up, and it seems to be, like, the developers who are injecting it with all this money, they're fucking slamming the stream into the client, all that sort of shit. Do you think it actually has the long-term appeal of, like, a StarCraft 2 or even, like, these 1v1 games like Quake and also the fighting games? Because I think, personally, it's already at a disadvantage because it's...